was president of the Farm Bureau, and you got to choose where we were going to be when you and I met up, and you chose this part of the state and this farm. How come?
Well, absolutely. This is a great part of the world here. I mean, we're in farm country. You're doing your ag tour throughout the state, and we want to make unique opportunities for you to observe agriculture. I know, if you remember last year, I believe it was, we were over on the west side and had a blueberry farm that we visited.
Right.
And you really enjoyed those blueberries.
You select great venues for this. And in terms of the Hobb and Stricker Farm, this has just been great to meet the family. Just met the missus. It is such a unique part of the ag portfolio. But you get to see the whole thing, don't you? And as we were talking about with Dave Lawrence, the incredible diversity of the ag products in Michigan.
Michigan is such a wonderful state. I mean, no matter where you go, things are constantly changing. We're the second most diverse state in the country in the amount of commodities that we grow. Number one is California. No one would ever think Michigan would be number two, but because of our uniqueness with the lakes and that, absolutely, we grow a lot of different commodities in this state. And you take a look. I mean, you look at the cherries up in the northwest. You take a look at the forestry in the north. And here we are in the east where it's more of the row crops, the dairy, the poultry, the eggs, you name it. We have it here in Michigan.
You've got to be thankful you're not insuring those farms out in California right now. They've had a hard year. With the wildfires and things like that. My Lord.
It is interesting to see what's happening out there. And it makes you wonder what's going on. I know it's Texas is also having a horrendous drought out there. They're saying it's the worst drought they had in decades.
Well, and everybody's having this big debate of whether it's, human influenced or whether or not. It doesn't matter. We've got to learn how to adapt. And we've got to be spending an awful lot of time thinking about how we're going to adapt to it. Because a lot of what's happened has already been locked in. It's going to happen, and we just need to find ways to. But in some ways, here in Michigan, I mean, we've had a great growing season. As you talk to your customers and the people that you insure, how are we doing in terms of this, critical sector of our economy?
Well, it's very interesting, Guy, because there's so many things out there that is happening in our world and in our country.
So many external influences that can determine what will happen to business.
Well, absolutely. I mean, when we take a look at all the distractions and when can we get back to our normal, people keep saying, but the thing is, though, this world has changed. The normal that we knew a couple of years ago will probably never come back.
Well, how so? But, I mean, because I don't think of it as having that big an impact on agriculture.
Well, you take a look at supply chain. You take a look at people's needs, what they want, how they want it, where they want it. It's affected agriculture and how that is produced. Before, it was such a well-oiled machine. I mean, when the consumer wanted something, the logistics was in place. It was just in time, like the auto industry used to say. Now, though, all of a sudden, if you don't have the trucks, all of a sudden it starts backing up. Or if you don't have the quantities or the packaging that the customer wants, it doesn't get on the store shelf. There's not a shortage of food. It's from the farm to the consumer is where we're having issues.
Well, and if those commodities have to be processed, then the Detroit News had a big story about the cherry production, that cherry processes were getting backed up, and that there was a concern that some of the fruit was going to be rotting in the field. When we were up in Grand Traverse yesterday, they didn't have a big concern there. I'm not quite sure where the disconnect came in that story, but in terms of whether it's a labor shortage or a reluctant labor force, how is that impacting especially the fields, those products that need to be handpicked?
The labor is a huge issue no matter where you go in the state, and agriculture is feeling it front hand because usually those are the individuals that are there for a short period of time when they're needed,
right?
And they have a specific job to do. But the thing is, there's so much demand that these individuals are going to other areas, and it doesn't seem like whatever wage it is, it doesn't matter. I mean, there's producers paying in the mid $20 an hour for someone to harvest a crop, and they can't get people to come and do it. And it just makes you wonder, where did everyone go?
Have the immigration controversies complicated that, or are most of the folks that are working in the fields that this is a seasonal thing, that those avenues have already been well-worn and the process is pretty entrenched?
Well, it's weighing in part of it, the immigration issues, because people are coming in here are concerned. Are they going to have the job? What's going to be, how are they going to be treated? How are they going to be affected? it's got to the point where actually we started another company a few years ago in Michigan Farm Bureau in Great Lakes Ag Labor Services, where we are actually helping the farmers recruit individuals from other countries to come in and harvest their crops.
To do that legally and to facilitate the process, which we know can be burdensome.
Right. And the thing is, too, you don't always know how credible the company is you're working with some of these labor teams. So we felt we needed to step in and be credible, guarantee that it's going to be done legal, everything will be on the up and up, and make sure labor force gets supplied, and it's been extremely popular in the last couple of years.
I know that there are going to be people in my audience saying, hey, that's great. We understand that the farm needs that labor, but it's supposed to be temporary, not permanent. How do you make sure that the people that you recruit and bring in do respect that temporary visa?
Well, when you take a look at the H-2A program, they can only be here for a certain amount of time by law.
Right,
and so we.
But that doesn't mean the law is always obeyed.
Well, but if we're bringing those people in and we're mm-hmm. running them through our system, we are the ones that are responsible to make sure those individuals get back. And Guy, believe it or not, the majority of those people that come here, they want to go back because they're making revenue for the rest of their family that is back in another country. They can't wait to go back.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. When you talk to farmers, a happy lot right now. We had a pretty good summer here in Michigan, maybe a little light on the rain. Everybody is feeling pretty optimistic. Give me the farm market report that I normally get at 5:30 in the morning.
Oh, the farm market report at 5:30 morning from a farmer, for the actual farm market report? Because the farmer will tell you, oh, man, it's bad out there. I mean, it's too much rain, too much sun, too much drought.
Too many input costs.
Yeah, that's a fact. You've got it. But agriculture is doing good this year. Yes, our input supplies are not only overpriced, we're paying an exorbitant amount for fertilizers, crop protectants and that, but also the availability of some of our products is very, very short in the needs for the farm.
Very quickly, Carl, in the transport part, we know that there has been an influx of new truck drivers that have come online in the past few months. Do you see it getting better? Is there optimism that we're going to get the kinks out of the supply chain?
We will get the kinks out of the supply chain. It's just going to take a little bit of time. And the thing is, though, too, you're seeing a transformation in not only the traditional drive the truck. You're going to see a lot of things coming in that whole electronic world. I mean, you're going to see vehicles that don't need a driver at some point in the future.
Well, this harvester behind me is almost to that point. I mean, it's got machine vision. It's got the ability to navigate, and it will actually adjust itself when the terrain gets rough.
Well,
it's amazing.
And that's because of the lack of labor. Here, there's one person doing that job, where before it took multiple people to do that job. I think you're going to see more and more of that in the world of not only agriculture, but in our economy in general.
Carl, we so appreciate our friends at the Michigan Farm Bureau, and we appreciate your support of this broadcast and giving me a chance to have fun all week long talking to wonderful, incredibly skilled business people in the agri sector.
Well, Guy, with Farm Bureau Insurance, we're very proud to host this Ag Tour this week with you and WJR, and to be able to showcase agriculture throughout the state. It's just it's a great opportunity. And Guy, in parting here we are on a farm. You talked a little bit about a co-op, Michigan Sugar Company, that's owned by the farmers. Farm Bureau Insurance was started by farmers. The board of directors is all farmers.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of similarities there between the two.
It's a great story to tell, and I can't wait to see where you're going to take us next year.
Well, stay tuned.
All right. When we come back.